We're running a tiny bit late, but I thought you would definitely want to have a chance to offer one or two questions at the microphones. And before I thank both speakers and go on to announce this afternoon's events. So if anyone would like to offer a very, very quick, come up and take the microphones on the side. And we'll have a couple of moments, but please ask very focused questions, and I'm sure either Dr. Newland or Professor Kramer will be happy to respond in kind. Yes?
Yes, my question is for Dr. Newland. And given the current interest in integrated and holistic medicine, and I've written some, to some extent, about this concerning Maimonides, and the fact that he has said in his commentaries to the Mishnah Torah that to be closer to God, we need to be healthy and take care of ourselves, mind, body, and spirit. So do you think Rambam would have some contributions to make? But even though you said he's the epitome of his skill, he's not as progressive, but do you think he would have some commentaries to make? I mean, his medicine, do you think it can be applicable to holistic and integrated medicine today? Thank you.
I hope I got the gist of the question. Unfortunately, you had that microphone inside your left tonsil, so some of it got a little bit obscured. Would he be making contributions to holistic medicine? I don't question that he would be making contributions to the notion of holistic medicine, but what he would really be making contributions to is scientific medicine. Had that mind lived in the 20th and 21st century, you can be sure that he would probably be focusing on molecular biology and have won three Nobel Prizes instead of the two that have been won by several people. Yeah.
Quick question for Professor Kramer. Maimonides' son, Abraham, apparently was somewhat or a lot influenced by the Sufi tradition. Could you talk something about that and whether this was seen as a continuation of Maimonides' experience as a Muslim or in opposition, or did it engender further controversy from other Jewish leaders around the Mediterranean?
Yeah. Just to be brief, as we have to be, I see Abraham Maimonides writes this wonderful work called Kifayat al-Abidin, The Sufficiency of the Worshippers, which was translated in part by a man named Rosenblatt, the son of the cantor, as Highways of Perfection, just so that you have some access to this work. And Abraham, who was also a scientist, after all, he was a physician, and as I said, a communal leader, much more than his father was, and wrote a lot of teshuvot, had a very close acquaintance with Sufi, as you said, Islamic mystical tracts, much more than his father. You tend to see his father more as a scientist, who even wrote a book on astronomy and the calendar, and edited a book on astronomy, and we see the son more as a pietist. However, Professor Goitein once suggested that Abraham's pietism and Sufism came from his mother's side, because when we read the genealogies in Geniza material, many of those people were called Hechassid, the pietist. I don't think so. I think there is an element, and you'll hear, you have to come this afternoon and hear my colleagues who are speaking on love of God, and I think you'll get your answer, that if you read parts of why the guy, the famous chapter, Guide 351, is very mystical, and you have other things in Maimonides where you would say, this is pietistic, certainly pietistic, no question. Even in the Mishnah Torah, he speaks that way. Midat Hasidut and so on. But even some familiarity with Sufi material. So I don't think that this is a rebellion of Abraham against his father's rationalism. You know, I think he did continue some skein within his father's teaching, but gave it much more importance than his father did.
Two more quick questions, and then we have to break for lunch.
First of all, I'd like to thank both of our speakers for a wonderful morning and very lucid. Professor Kramer spoke of the Jewish-Muslim crossover in study and intellectual interface. And Dr. Newland spoke of the Rambam dedicated to the continuity of the Jewish people. Given Voltaire's comment that history is a bag of tricks played on dead men, I ask this question. What message would you say that the Jewish people should take from the Rambam in terms of interface with the Muslim community?
That is a really a wonderful question. But I think it would be for another seminar like this. Just very briefly, because we have to stop. Maimonides, I don't like to use the word ambiguous because that covers so many things. He was very deeply influenced by that environment. He took a lot from it. As I said, I believe he lived for a while as a Muslim. He knew these things. He knew Quran. He knew Islamic law. Poetry, I think, too. However, in the letter to Yemen, he has a statement that's very harsh. He says, never before has a nation harassed us, I would say, as much. Not even oppressed. It's a certain kind of word that is hard to translate. And as the nation of Ishmael, and he talks about humiliating, and it's in the Quran, you know, that the Jews have stamped upon them adhilla wal maskana, lowliness and humiliation. And he stresses that in that letter to Yemen. So he suffered a lot under the Almohads, and then he saw the terrible suffering of the Jews in Yemen. And he wasn't just filled with this kind of feeling of love for this civilization, which he was part of, and it was in his consciousness, but there was a dark side as well. And we have to be honest as historians and bring that out.
One of the great virtues of having a library of words and being unable ever to lift one's pencil from the pen is that after a while one finds that he has written on every topic that's possible in the world. And I've actually written about this one, but the reason I wanted to take the microphone is to point out that, like so many people who are here today, Leah Stamp was a friend of mine, and next Shabbos in Shul, during the sermon, perhaps we can discuss this. Where do you go?
One last quickie.
As this is everyone listening to Dr. Newland's talk, I want to ask
Professor
Kramer informed, rational discourse. I found my mind searching for the human, and I hope your book somehow incorporates something human about this prodigious intellect.
I lost the adjective. Would you say it again?
I'm looking for the human. Throughout your discourse, I was searching for the human quality.
Human quality.
Of Maimonides. I was searching for something that I could latch on that was, this, I miss this everyone. I was looking for something human. And I hope your book latches on to something very human about Maimonides.
Okay, so since 90% of your books are Jewish, let me answer a question with a question. Have you read any Newland? I have to say yes or no.
I've read a little.
A little?
Not enough, but I was just concentrating on your discourse.
Two positives make a negative. I think you will not be disappointed.
Well, I want to thank first Sherwin Newland for your wonderful talk, and I also want to thank Joel Kramer again for your extraordinary talk as well. both of these talks complement each other, even though they come up with extremely different premises, focusing on Maimonides and the question of writing about Maimonides. I think each made their premises about their biographies very clear, and I think you understand now why we juxtaposed these two remarkable people together this morning. And on behalf of all of you, I want to thank them. I also want to invite you all to come back at 2 o'clock to the Sterling Memorial Library Lecture Hall, where this afternoon's two speakers will talk about spirituality and Maimonides' liturgy, Professor Daniel Lasker and Professor Menachem Kellner. And we have much more in treat and a wonderful gala Sephardic reception afterwards to mark the publication of Maimonides' Book of Love in the Yale Judaica series, and a book signing, and many more things. So now, on your own for lunch, and come back at 2 o'clock. Thank you.